Today's guest is the number one rising influencer in the business world, Mike Sirach. He is the CEO of People Building Incorporated and a powerhouse behind the What Are You Made Of movement. He's a performance coach, author, dynamic public speaker, and visionary and thought leader. He's been featured by Yahoo Finance and one of the top business leaders to follow in 2020. And he's on a mission to build people. So, Mike Sirach, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you. I know you're a busy man in the finance world and not only.
Thank you, Marcin. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this.
Well, as you can hear, I'm not a native English speaker. I'm Polish. So in general, our audience, are Polish people. They're listening in English. Sometimes most of the time they're listening in Polish, but we're kind of, changing that. And what I like about your podcast is that you're, going back, and I'm podcast, not just podcast, but that's how I, connected with you online, is that you're actually going back in a history and you're pointing, hey, this is what actually made you kind of, this is like your motivator, because this is a different reference point for everybody else. Like, so for me, I was growing up in an orphanage, and for me, this is like the biggest motivation when I think of a garlic soup that I had to fucking eat, 10 years ago, and I didn't have parents like around me. And this is like, for me, that gives me the kick, I don't need anything else. And that's what I loved, about your podcast. So tell me, coming from a broken home, because I did some research, what were the beginnings for you, and then where does the what are you made of idea come from?
Well, the funny thing about this, I tell my story all the time, and I I came from a rough upbringing, a rough childhood. However, there's always people that have it better than you, and there's always people that have it worse. You just mentioned that you were in an orphanage. I'm talking about a broken home and having parents separated. And whether that's better or not, it depends on the environment that you grow up in. But I came from a broken home. I don't remember my mom and dad ever together. And I used to go to my mom's every other weekend or dad's every other weekend and staying at the other parents full time. But there was a lot of conflict growing up from when I was about 8 years old to about 11. There was a lot of conflict that went on with my parents, my step parents, and child support, custody, all these different issues that happen when you have a divorce. And during the time from when I was 8 to 11, I decided to live with my dad and his new wife. And my mom was getting ready to be married for her third time. And I don't tell this story to bash my parents by any means, because I don't know the whole story and I don't know what was going on. I'm only telling you my perspective and how it was built me. And so when I was 8 to 11, I dealt with a lot of mental and psychological abuse. And a lot of things were taken out on me. And so at one stage in my life, when I got to 11 years old, I figured, this is enough. I don't want to be in this situation anymore. I want to be in a family that's loving, and I want to be in. And fortunately for me, I was able to do that. I had that choice, right? Not everybody gets that. So my mom filed court papers for child custody, and my dad got them one day, and I came home from school and he got these papers saying that my mom was filing court papers to get custody of me. And my dad, I came home from school and he said, "Hey, go to your room, man, go to your room." So I went and sat in my room, and I probably sat there for about 5 minutes. It felt like 5 hours because I was just anticipating what was going to happen, because I didn't tell my dad that this was coming. And so at that moment, he came in and he said, "Is this true? You want to move back with your mom? Your mom's poor. She doesn't have any money like you have here." And my dad, by the way, at that time, my dad was my hero. He had his own business. He laid brick and block and poured concrete, big forearms, rough hands. I always looked up to my dad for his heart of worker as he was, for the hard worker that he was. And he used to carry a wad of money in his pocket, big giant bills with a rubber band around it. And he used to flash it. And I always used to look up to him for that. And the thing is that when I confirmed that I wanted to leave, I'm sure his feelings were hurt. Maybe his pride was hurt, but he whipped out that wad of money and he peeled one of them off, the $100 American bill, and crumpled it up and threw it at me and said, "Well, here, you're going to need this then when you're living on the streets with your mother one day." And, when you're 11 years old and that happens to you with your hero, you feel like you're a boxer and your trainer threw in the towel and called the fight, right? I just felt like I was let down right there. But you know what? I'm very stubborn. Like, I believe in something and I stick with it, kind of stubborn. And I thought to myself, there's no way that I'm going to need that money. I'm not letting you determine my future. And I'll show you. That's kind of what I thought. And the other thing I thought was, I felt like I was in an ordinary situation because I thought all kids go through the same stuff that I was going through. I didn't know any different. And so I thought to myself, well, this is ordinary. I know there's other people out there that have been given up on, and I'm going to show them somehow. I didn't know exactly how, but I knew I could be a role model by doing everything I could to be the best at what I was doing and help other people. And so I set out on that journey 30 some years ago. And about 2 years ago, I really realized that all this time I've been feeding off this setback that I call a setback, this difficult time. I've been feeding off of it and using it as rocket fuel to propel myself forward into success. And when I became aware of that, Marcin, I wanted to make sure that I got it out to everyone else globally around the world to show people that you can turn setbacks into rocket fuel.
Amen to that, brother. Amen. Yeah, very, very similar story you have that, you know, that I can relate to. And, you know, like having abusive parents when I was a kid. And then I knew, like, my father was kind of entrepreneurial as well. And my mother was kind of like nurturing, but, you know, also very swayed by alcohol, by, you know. So as a kid, you know, I just wanted probably, you know, have parents around. That's what you want as a kid, you know. And but what you said with your father, you know, that was kind of like a hero. The same for me, you know, he was always saying, okay, you should learn English, you know, because that's like the future. Da, 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 da. But, you know, it was dysfunctional overall. So that didn't work. But then exactly like in your case, when I look back and I look at the fuel, because you're saying what you like, you know, what you're made of, that's your fuel kind of. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have a podcast called What Are You Made Of? And it's a movement now. And What Are You Made Of? Is, you know, something that I used to say to myself and still to this day, like if I'm going through a tough time, you know, I say, man, come on, what are you made of? Look at the stuff that you've come through. You look at the, you know, all the stuff that you made it through. You're built for this. You got this. You're an animal. You know, I talk to myself a lot. So What Are You Made Of? Is that's how I came up with that name. And I bring people on there, successful people, to share their stories of how they got to success and what they used, what ingredients from their past did they use to
fuel them. See a lot of like people in my age, because I'm 27, a lot of guys especially, they're chasing chicks instead of excellence, you know. And a lot of them, they like, because I come from like programming background, that's what I studied and that's where I was kind of working, that's how I started my business. But you know, a lot of those guys like earn lots of money, you know, as programmers, and then they kind of spend it on chicks, chasing chicks, and then, you know, one after the other. So let's say they travel, and then, you know, and I did that, you know, maybe like 5 years ago, but very quickly I left that, and then I started. That's actually what fueled me. Then I realized like this is not like the women that I have to chase. This is like the business and something that I need to build. You know, how was in your case, because I know, you know, that you had a very tough upbringing and then you used that fuel. Can you tell me like how, you know, how did you build your career in finance? And then if you could transition to sales a little bit, because I think that's where the key is really.
Yeah. Well, look, first of all, the younger generation, man, I mean, if they would just understand that if they really focus on themselves and building themselves to a solid foundation and get their finances right, women will chase them. I don't mean for one night stands. I'm not talking about that. That too, but you got to be careful. But I'm talking about the spouse or partner you're looking for. You will have the selection, a bigger selection. If you take care of yourself first, figure out the finances, get it all straight, and then look, and then you will find. Other than that, a lot of times you're chasing. And you know, people chase things, not just women, not just human beings, but they chase things when they don't have enough of something. And so, yeah, definitely, I agree with that. For me, you know, I went to college for a few years. I dropped out with a 4.08 average because I lost my intentional purpose. I lost my intentional drive, and I started chasing the party. I tried for a period of time. I did the wrong thing, man. And then from there, I was left with kind of no choice. I had to figure out a way to make money. And so I got in the sales game and I started in-home sales, learning how to close and do
what
demonstrations.
Age were you?
And let's see, probably 98, 21. And I did that for 9 years. I was in home sales for 9 years, man, going around to houses and selling things. And that 9 years of my life, you know, I don't want to say it was wasted. I learned a lot and I cut my teeth in the sales game, but I was definitely not focused and with intentional purpose on some big game. And I was drinking and partying and I shouldn't have been. And I feel like I wasted a lot of my time, my life that way. And if I could tell anybody, if I could go back and tell my younger self, hey, listen, stay engaged, stay on your purpose, believe in it, despite how difficult it gets or how hard it is, just turn everything into fuel. I would tell him that and make him understand that alcohol, drugs, partying is such a short-term pleasure that it's just not even worth it.
Wow, that's so powerful, brother. I love that. And actually, you've answered the last question that I had for you, but I'll ask you again. Maybe we'll kind of clarify when we approach the end of the recording. So let me know, what do you do? And then what have you been doing? Like, you know, once you found kind of, once you discovered your purpose, you know, once you like, you knew that you were kind of on track, what did you do and what do you do in order to be resourceful right now in your life? Or, you know, how do you solve problems for other people, for your clients and for yourself? If you could describe the process, if you could break it down, maybe, you know, with sales, maybe with marketing, and, you know, what makes you money? Like lots of Polish people, because, you know, Poland is it's not a third world country, you know, but it's developing. But lots of people are kind of like from the communistic, you know, mindset. I don't know if you've heard anything about Poland or like the history, but my parents, for example, and all the people that I know, you know, they've been growing up on a kind of, you know, oh, we've not been traveling, you know, have one job, you know, don't go to strangers, sort of find a job and, you know, don't show off too much. So that was the mindset, and it's still kind of prevailing in the country, even though like there is the new, you know, generations, but there's so much sort of stigma from that.
No matter how hard they work, they made the same amount of money.
Exactly. And this is like, you know, not only, you know, Polish people are kind of smart, you know, like all the like programmers and developers, we have a lot of smart people, but they, you know, mentally, they're like, you know, they're in their kind of square. They cannot get outside the box. So for example, I'll give you a very, like, I just came to Vegas 2 weeks ago. I flew from Europe, even though there are restrictions. Legally, you shouldn't like even travel. I did that, like I was looking for loopholes, you know, where's the loophole? Like, how can I mean, it's legal. What I did was totally legal. I went through like Mexico.
Yeah.
I went to Mexico. I stayed there for 2 weeks. I had my quarantine there and I came to the US and, you know, they questioned me at the border. Why are you here? You shouldn't be here. You should be doing business online, blah, 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 blah. And I was scared, you know, I was scared because I thought maybe they're going to take my visa. Maybe they're going to, you know, send me back home. Maybe, you know, because, and a lot of people are like, oh no, stay at home, stay at home. It's a, you know, it's a pandemic. You shouldn't.
Yeah. Because it's safe.
Yeah.
It's safe.
And that's how, you know.
Well, here it is. Our brain is set. Excuse me. Our brain is set for us to survive. Our brain tells us to do the things that help you just survive and just get by. Anything outside of that, your brain thinks it's a risk and it's a threat to your survival, so that you naturally default to that positioning of survival. And until you break out of that and start to build confidence on top of that, to tell your brain, no, I'm not listening to you. I understand that I can survive, but I want to be bigger than that. And you start practicing that and working it out like a muscle. You'll stay in that default position and be comfortable and complacent. And that's what most people do, not just in Poland, but it does it in the United States as well. All of us left at our own devices will resort back to our default survival position. And so what you have to do is you have to work it, and you have to get an accountability person, and you have to get people around you that are always thinking bigger and get excited about it and not sit still and not be okay with it. And then just constantly build upon that. Little tiny wins that you can make, like set a little target for yourself that's out of your comfort zone, hit it, raise it up, and then just keep building. And before you know it, your floor or your standards have risen, and your ceilings, you've busted through the ceilings. So what I would say is, you know, no matter where you come from, no matter what you can believe, try to get an ideal picture, like the perfect life that you would want to live, where you would want to live it, who the people are that you want to be around, the kind of stuff that you want to be doing, the kind of stuff that you want to have. Really get a clear picture. Don't worry about what's possible. That's not for you to decide. The universe will decide what's possible. Just picture it and get really, really clear on the picture, the details. And then from there, write it down, put pen to paper. And then from that point, no matter whether you believe as far as it's possible or not, don't even think about that. Commit to that life. Say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that life. And when you do that, from that point forward, this is how simple it is. Every thought that goes through your mind, every word that you speak, every action that you take, make sure it's going towards the goal, ideal, life, and not away from it. Those are the two decisions or two options you have with words, thoughts, and actions. Is it taking me towards that ideal life that I wrote down, or is it away from it? And make the right choice.
Right. I see that you have a cross on your neck. How do you connect spirituality? Because when I was, Poland is a very Catholic country. When I was growing up, you know, you had to go to church, even though I didn't want to go. Like they were forcing me. And I was growing up with nuns. It was a, you know, Catholic orphanage. So how do you, and then I kind of left all that spirituality. I focused on kind of, you know, earning money and improving myself. That's what it is. But the older I get, I see that spirituality, not kind of like you have to believe in, you know, Jesus Christ or Buddha or whatever. It's kind of like, how do you, I'm going to go off script here, but how do you, what does it mean to you, you know, like spirituality and the stuff that you were saying, the fuel, like what you're made of, how do you kind of relate those two, correlate those two?
So first of all, I believe that there was a creator that put us all here. There's a supreme like being, God, or whatever you'd like to call it. And I believe that, you know, I grew up in a Christian church, so my beliefs stem from growing up in a Christian family, Christian church, the stories in the Bible about Jesus coming, and that was the Son of God, you know, basically that there's the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And how you can relate to that if you're not a Christian is you can have the Son who came in a body form. That's our physical being, our physical body. You have God, which is the mind with limitless potential, and the Holy Spirit with limitless potential. And that the Holy Spirit is your life force that actually like gives your body, your physical body, energy and movement and animation. And so I think that it's translated in several different languages. I'm sorry, religions, that same concept. But I'm a spiritual being. I know that for a fact. There's no question about it in my mind. It's not even a belief. It's a conviction. Like I know that I have a physical body that's limited in certain capacities, but my spirit and mind are unlimited. Like there's no limit to what I can accomplish. I know that for a fact. So I'm always constantly pushing myself and stretching myself. And see, what happens is sometimes when you're not aligned with what you want in life, and this is why it's so important to have a clear picture in your mind of what you want, your spirit and your body, the physical universe and energy and all that gets banging into each other and conflict happens. And then that's why people have stress, anxiety, problems that aren't good problems. And so what you need to do is really understand why it's important to have a clear picture in your mind of what you want so that your spirit and your physical body can work together in harmony to accomplish whatever you set out to accomplish. I believe that. I know that. I understand other people have different views and I respect other people's views. That I just believe that what I believe is right, and I've seen the results from
right. Do you have any kids right now?
Yes.
I'm curious how you kind of flipped that your past and kind of projected onto your kids. I mean, projected how you raised them.
Did you flip that, or did
you take lessons from your childhood?
Yeah, I have a son that's 14 and my daughter's 8, and my wife and I have been married for 18 wow. years almost. And I will do whatever I have to do to make sure that my marriage works. I will like, as we say in America, eat shit if I have to. I will do what I have to do to swallow my pride, do whatever it takes to make sure my marriage works and that it's successful, because I'm more worried about my marriage being successful than I am about being right. Too many people are worried about being right rather than successful.
Amen.
I want to be successful. I want to, yeah. So that's what matters to me. I want to be a role model to my kids. I want my kids to be on, I have high standards and I hold my kids to really high standards. And I'm hard on them when it comes to that, because I believe in respect. I believe in effort, and I believe in having a great attitude. And those three things are really important for my kids to be. And if I don't see that happening, I get really, it bothers me. And so I think that's what it comes down to in life in general, is be more worried about success and winning and being a great role model than being right.
Absolutely. And also chasing chicks.
Chasing chicks. Listen, back in the day, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All bad stuff is fun for a little period of time, but then at some point it doesn't lead you
down
the right road.
Some people stay with that for years, you know, and then, it is what it is. But anyway, let's transition a little bit to kind of to business, because I know you're finance guy. I see business. Some guy told me that, and that really stuck with me. In business, we have, like, you know, five elements: people, products, processes, sales, and marketing. Where is your greatest strength, and why? And you've been in the finance business, yeah?
Mortgage,
If you could expand on loans.
Well, I would say sales and people, and then I'm developing in, you know, getting a lot better in marketing. Processes, I can tell you right now, I can do it and figure it out, but it's not something that is my strength. So I get people to do it, and I hire people to do it. What else did you say?
If you could expand on the sales and people, because that's your greatest strength, and that's where we want to take lessons from you. So if you could, relate to how you develop maybe the career in finance and tell a little bit about that, how you make money.
Well, so I was in sales, in-home sales, selling products to in-home and people's houses. And then from there, I got out of that and went to real estate and mortgages. And I worked with some friends and I just learned the business from them. But I think that sales is also leadership, because leadership is also known as influence. And when you're selling someone, you're trying to influence them and help them make a decision. So I think that if you have good leadership abilities, that leads to being a great salesperson. And, that's what I focus on. I focus on influencing people in directions that I think that they should go and what I believe in. If I don't believe it, it's not going to be a good, easy road to sell somebody or influence someone. So it's got to be something you believe in, right? And you got to be sold on whatever your company is and your purpose. As far as people go, I know that the people in my business are the ones that are going to make it successful or fail. So that being the case, if you're thinking about a car, and the wheels on that car are what make the ride smooth or rough and handle, are you going to make sure you take care of those wheels and make sure that those wheels are healthy and all the weak parts are fixed and they're strong? Or are you going to just not pay attention to them? And so that's what I look at. I'm building people. I look at people's strengths and I look how ways I can throw rocket fuel on their strengths. I look at their weaknesses and I say, you know, what weaknesses here can we develop and make better, or understand that there's no hope for that weakness. Let's just move that to the side, get somebody else to do that part. Let's focus on the strengths. So that's what I focus on, those two things. And then I get people around me to take care of the rest.
I love that. You remind me of Mr. Grant Cardone.
Yeah. I don't know that guy. Who is he?
I don't know. I heard that you're, the Grant Cardone licensee. What does it mean, and how could you help people? I mean, I said you remind me because, like, you even look like him when you were really, man.
He's not this good looking.
He's handsome. He's handsome now. The more money you have, the more handsome you have. You know? The more handsome you are.
He's a great guy. He's on a great mission, and I saw that mission, and it came into my life at the right time when I had lost my stepfather suddenly to a heart attack. And I ran into Grant's content and it spoke to me. I felt it. I lived it. And I was like, you know what? I want to ride this train. And I just want to support his movement and his mission is, which is to help people reach for their potential and be successful. And so what he's doing is a fabulous thing. I don't think that it's a situation where I would ever compete with it. I think that I'd rather hop on the train and then see how far I can push his and my missions together. And so, Grant's a great guy, great mission, done great things, big things, and he's still probably on to more even bigger things than he's done already. And that's what I love about him.
So if people wanted to, because I know you're like, you're a coach now, yeah? Like what does it mean? Like a licensed coach? Like if people wanted to come to you for consultations, because you've taken in a lot of that, you know, content and learnings and you kind of, you have that methodology now, yeah? To train people.
Yeah, all of Grant's content. I'm a student of the game. I mean, I've been through probably 3,000 videos. Cardone University, studied, been around Grant, mentoring, masterminding. The fact of the matter is that I've immersed myself in his content. And if somebody comes to me and wants to learn about that content, sales, marketing, money, any of that stuff, I can teach them that stuff based on his content, along with my own little twist on it from my experiences. But at the end of the day, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So if he has great content, I want to share that content and help get it out to the world. And people can come to me and talk to me about that. And by the way, if your audience is into English speaking and not only just speaking, but reading, my book Rocket Fuel is on sale right now. And Rocket Fuel is in English, but it talks about how to turn setbacks and difficulties into rocket fuel for your future. And I think that a lot of lessons that I learned from Grant are in there. And if anybody's interested in any of that kind of stuff, just all you got to do is reach out to me.
Okay. Is the book on your website or like on Amazon?
Yeah, it's on a link. It'll be on Amazon in February, but right now I'm selling it from my website, which is Mike, M-I-K-E, C-Rock, C-R-O-C, Mike C-Rock, no K, .com/book, MikeC-Rock.com.
We'll link that in the description, and I'd like to order one. So we'll sort that after the recording.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
So, okay, let's go back to the last question that I you know, wanted to ask you, and you kind of answered that, you know, when we started recording. If you could go back to that 20-year-old self, how many years was that ago? 20-something?
Yeah, that's fine.
So if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what advice would you give yourself? Like you said, you know, accountability, etc. What would be like the biggest piece of advice?
I would here's a big piece of advice. Find out what you want in life, go after it, and be stubborn about it, and don't worry about what people think or say. You just keep on your thing, stick to your guns, go after it, and before you know it, they may leave you, the friends and people that are around you that hate on you or discourage you, they may leave you, but as long as you keep going and become successful, they'll always come back into your life, and you can be the judge in determining whether you want to be around them anymore. Because I think I felt like I was so caged up, worried about what people think and doing what others wanted to do. And that limited me.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. Like we're so worried about what other people are going to say and they're not even paying our bills. Unless they are. So, okay. So guys, go to the Mike C. Rock, not K, C, and .com. We'll link that in the description. And I'm also ordering the book right now. That's what you should do as well. And thank you very much for your time, Mike. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Marcin. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show, man.
Życie bez gruchy. Jedyny życiowy podcast w Polsce stworzony dla geeków.